is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hello, and welcome to Bitter Comics. This is episode 89. I am here with my good friends, Jamie Avila.
¿Cómo estás?
¿Cómo estás? It is Avila. Where I was commenting earlier that I'm really glad there's no R in his name because I can't roll an R. He can roll an R. Jamie Avila can roll an R, ladies. Okay, I'm getting a hard on you. Gotta stop looking at me like that. And Will the Thrill Lushbrow, how's it going, Will?
Hey, JT, how's it going?
Going great. Thanks a lot for doing the podcast with me. I really appreciate it. We begin once again with my opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. Now, this is episode 89, so for my insensitivity in episode 88, I would like to apologize to black people, tamales, credit cards, and I guess that's it for this week. It's a short list this week.
What happened? You bought tamales from a black person.
I paid with a credit card.
And you paid with a credit card.
Yeah.
And then you went all upset. Really? And you're all upset, and then you somehow offended all those three things.
Yeah, exactly. And now, actually, the credit card thing was I made a comment about last episode. It was Mike Wirtz on, and he talked about one time he got drunk, and he's in Seattle doing a show. He got drunk and woke up the next morning in Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And, you know, of course, he paid for all of his stuff using his credit card. And I made a comment about, you know, obviously letting someone use their credit card while they're drunk is just like having sex with someone while they're drunk because they're not able to give consent.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the perfect analogy
there. It's still rape, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's getting raped by American Airlines, apparently.
You should be charged with rape if you make me buy you stuff when I'm drunk.
Exactly.
So how good were the black tamales?
The black tamales, I don't remember what the things I did to offend the black people or the tamales were.
Or the black tamales.
But if anyone out there would like to know. Oh, go ahead, Will. I apologize, please. What were you going to say?
I don't want to say it anymore. Go ahead.
But I want to know.
No,
now.
You know what? Let's make this weird. Go ahead. Were you going to say that if they'd like to know more, they should email you?
Yeah. To know why I'm apologizing to each of these things,
it's because he's a fucking racist asshole.
I am a racist.
That's why. And he has to make up for it.
I absolutely am racist. I hate white people. White people are horrible.
And he hates tamales.
That's
worse.
Tamales are all right. I really like enchiladas. I dig on enchiladas. Enchiladas are good. But you got to put extra cheese on it.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you would like to know why I'm apologizing to these things, check out episode 88 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you'd like to be subscribe to our podcast, go to that website and scroll down a little bit. On the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or My Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put your credit card / rape jokes deserve an apology. I did apologize. I apologize to credit cards. Should I apologize to rape?
Have you received any hate mail?
I've only gotten one email entire time I've been doing this podcast.
Or do you get verbal?
That was a person who told me I give John Jones too much of a hard time. Yeah.
Was it anonymous or what?
No, it was. I had just recently purchased a computer from a company called Doghouse Systems. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with a tech support guy about a problem I was having getting the computer working. And he mentioned their podcast. And it's like, you know, there's some advice on there on how to do certain things. And I mentioned my podcast. So mm-hmm. He went and he listened to one episode and then told me that y'all are really hard on the black guy. So if from Texas is telling you're being too hard on the black guy.
You're really hard on the black guy.
Then you're really hard on the black guy.
That's good. But, do you usually get any like verbal mail? Like,
oh no, yeah. No one listens to this. How are they going to respond? I mean, this is
verbal
personal collection. This is verbal internet masturbation.
You say a lot of fucked up edgy fucking offensive stuff, because you apologize every week, you know what I mean? So you're saying like fucked well, see, up taboo thing. Shit and so I'm like I we need things. To fucking we need to say the worst stuff, like if you're what
I say things without really thinking about them is the problem. And then so then I have to apologize for the horrible thing. I said, hello, Will's dad just walked in. Hello, Will's dad. How's it going?
How's it going?
Going good. But thanks for doing the show. And Will, thanks for hosting me. I used to do this podcast at my apartment, but some things happened around my living situation that we'll definitely get into on the show today.
Yeah.
How's it going? Well, what's up?
It's going good, man. I'm just hanging out with my really good friend Jamie Avila here at my house.
Who's got this goofy grin on his face right now. It's like he's up to something.
I couldn't find my keys to come home last night and open my own door, so he let me stay at his house.
Oh, that was nice of him.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Does he snore? Do either of you snore? Keep the other one awake all night?
I snore.
That would be cool. You snored?
We had his own room.
Oh, okay.
Sleep with him?
Yeah, I think.
You have a spare room at your place?
Yeah, I guess he has a lot of overnight guests.
Should have stayed over.
He has a lot of overnight guests who he doesn't have sex with, so he has an extra bed
that's
there.
That's always nice.
So to have him sleep there, so good thing. And I was able to stay the night. So.
Well, that's good. You weren't stuck outside, at least. That's nice. I would have...
there was vacancy.
There was vacancy.
Yeah, and then we went...
Well, I mean, what's the other choice? Break a window and then... To get into your house,
wake up your mom.
wake up your mom. What your mom was home. You could have woken her up, and you didn't want to. Or
well, I don't want to. Yeah, it was late. I don't want to like wake people up. Like I'll stay at Jamie's house. You know what I mean? Like I'm down to like ask someone else for like a favor. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So rather than wake your mom up, you're gonna travel across town. And actually, I don't know how. Do you live far away? Or
he lives off of a. Do you mind if I say on the?
Don't say.
Do you mind if I just give him clues?
Is it close or is it far?
Give him clues.
Is it a couple miles? Do you live nearby or is it far away? 5 miles. Okay. So
east.
Well, I want to give clues.
No clues.
Okay, this is a scavenger hunt. You got to follow the.
I have a black gate. That's it.
And
that's it. It's three clues.
And the first people
5 miles
to make it
east black gate.
The first people to make it to Jamie's house get a prize.
They get Jamie's house.
And the prize is that Jamie. Will whisper to you knowingly. I'm sorry. I shouldn't pick on
really,
so
that really
about his voice.
Him,
I'm,
dude,
I'm sorry.
Next week you're gonna have to apologize.
You know,
to
no,
Jamie.
See, he's got. There's the intense look. That was the intense look.
Dude, I just fuck with
you. You talk about his voice, and then he gives you the intense look. It's awesome.
You think I care if you talk about my? I don't even know what I care if you talk about.
Yeah, see, I don't know. If I don't. I'm sensitive to anything either. Yeah. I feel that way too. Yeah.
Like, there's some things I don't want to talk about on here, but it's not that I'm offended.
Oh, it's not that you're trying to hide anything. It's just you don't want to embarrass other people. See, I was talking to you about this on the phone. I brought it up for no reason, even though you had other things to do and wanted to get away.
I don't have anything to do.
I've come to the conclusion that because of technological advances, privacy is over. We can just give up on that right now.
Yeah, that's why you should just be open with everything. I mean, I guess that's a good idea, but like sometimes it's just like I feel like in a situation or medium, it just feels unnecessary to talk about like certain, you know, things that are like really private, you know.
Well,
even though, you know, people could find out most things about you, you know.
Well, I don't know if the question is whether it's necessary, though.
Well, that's when it gets uncomfortable, though. But yeah, you should be open because, yeah, what you're saying, privacy is obsolete nowadays. Because,
yeah, I think privacy is obsolete. And it's not because people don't want to be private. It's just we don't have that option anymore.
You still have the option, I think, to manage, like, basically, you know, like, managing your impressions with people. Like, you know how you act different among, like, different groups of people, whether it be, like, your family or, you know, maybe coworkers or, you know, comics, you act a certain way. Like, it's just, I think you're still able to manage your impressions just because, like, people only really recognize, like, how the actual experience of hanging out with you, you know, like, you know, how they feel when they hang out with you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, acting different around different people or trying to respect other people's. I think they get crossed a little bit because, like, you know, if I'm at my Aunt Vera's house for Thanksgiving dinner, I'm going to do my very best to not swear.
Yeah,
because I know how much it bothers her.
Well,
but I'm not being another person. I'm just trying not to say the F word. around her. You know, and
gotta try hard.
Whereas
just it, don't talk.
But like about privacy though, like you're not going to reveal certain details that you would in a different situation to your aunt, whatever. You know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, even though there's a Facebook profile you have, there's still things she's not going to know about. You know, some weird maybe masturbation experience that you've probably explained to us. Like, you know what I mean? Something, I don't know. You still have a way to manage and not like let her know that.
I want that sprinkler back, by the way.
Yeah, he tied a hose and a sprinkler. No, I'm just kidding.
It was one of the spinny ones. That was weird. Okay. Well, but so I don't know if that's the same thing as, because I don't know if not, I don't know if you're really acting a different way so much as trying to be polite in a specific social situation that may call for it. You know, because are you a different person because you're screaming and yelling while you're at the Van Halen concert?
No, yeah, it's a situation.
And you sit there quietly at the opera.
Yeah, yeah. But no, what I'm saying, because you know, you say like, wait, privacy is like obsolete, right? Because of the internet and
to a large degree, I think so.
And,
yeah.
And then, and what else? Because of the whole like,
wire. Well, I mean, thing? The internet, the wire, just the whole advancement of technology has gotten to the point where
they can hear.
It's too difficult if you do something, and someone wants to find out something about you. They'll find out nowadays. I mean, there was a chance that you might be able to hide some embarrassing thing about yourself once upon a time.
Well, what do you mean as like embarrassed? Like just a crime? Like a crime you've committed?
Oh, okay. Let's say a politician is into transsexuals.
Yeah.
He thinks that chicks with dicks are sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, once upon a time, he would have to, you know, make secret arrangements and meet in private to do that. To experience that kind of thing, and there's a chance that you'd be able to hide this because so few people are involved in it. Nowadays, if you're a politician and you're into the chicks with dicks things, you just go to youjizz.com and click on the Gmail button.
I like
don't read too much into this.
I know. I like how like regarding like privacy issues. So,
that politician could still choose to go the old-fashioned way, but it is difficult to resist the cake sitting on your desk in order to go out to the bakery and get a piece that's more fresh.
You know,
I just analogized.
Yeah, I don't know.
With transsexuals.
But I just thought it was funny how like when we're talking about privacy issues, like the group we're defending is, you know, the politician out there who's into transsexuals. Well, we got to defend all those politicians.
Well, into just transsexuals. A politician is the person that everyone wants to know all their personal stuff about.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, people want to know all their personal stuff about celebrities as well. But frankly, I think a celebrity voluntarily gave up their privacy when they put themselves on the poster of a blockbuster movie.
I feel like me and you are fine. I feel like I just don't feel like.
Well, I'm not in a situation where if anything about me came out, I would care.
Yeah,
you know, it's I'm not, if I were, I don't know. The biggest thing who I guess the biggest people who have to worry about this sort of things are the ones who scream about family values and then act a different way but you know it seems like that those are the like John Edwards. So I honestly he cheated on his wife. I don't care, but I do care about the fact that he put his family up as, hey, see, look at how I'm this wonderful family person, he campaigned as that, and it turned out that was true. I don't care about the fact that he cheated on his wife.
What if I cheated?
Cheated on
would you
who?
Care?
Cheat on who?
What I mean, if I cheated on anyone?
Well,
how would you feel about that?
It wouldn't surprise me. You seem the type. It's always the quiet ones. You know, that's what they say, right? Yeah. It's always the quiet ones. It is, right?
But yeah, I guess like people. I guess it's mainly like, I guess people I don't like who have to worry about.
There you go. Someone doesn't like everyone.
It's just like
there are people that didn't like Jesus. Okay, so there's someone that doesn't like everybody out there.
Actually, you know what? People don't have to be aware of your past though and all your mistakes though. I feel like it is irrelevant in a profession. Like even like in politics, you know, in politics and stuff like that. Like someone could still do something shitty, like you know, maybe like commit adultery or something. Yeah. But that doesn't mean like they're like a bad.
Yeah, but the other guy that wants the office is going to find out about it when doing opposition research and use it against you in the election. And just personal
slander, you know, which is like exactly irrelevant to like their politics.
Yeah. Yeah. So and that's why I think we need to get over the embarrassing things that people do, and we need to get over our own shame over the embarrassing things that.
Yeah, that, if people are you able know, to and
like,
it.
If things should they be embarrassing? Like, if a dude is into transsexuals, well, you get to be attracted to what you want to.
Hey, a mayor in Toronto you know? Did crack, like, and you know what? He came out and he was like yeah, all of you have sinned, all of you have sinned before.
That's true.
And he just likes a little bit of whatever.
Is it
you know what I mean?
Was like, it Ron Ford? Is that his name, Ron Ford?
I don't. I just saw the C-SPAN yeah. thing where he was just like, all of you have sinned before in your life.
Well, I just love the video of him, the tape where he's just ranting, yeah, and, you know, high and ranting. Okay, we're going to take a break real quick. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Jamie Avila and William Lushbaugh. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with William Lushbaugh and Jamie Avila. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back.
What?
There's not a cookie there.
I didn't know what.
Hey, how's it going? We're back.
They're called a friend of mine, a prostitute. Alana is not a prostitute. She's a friend. That makes me sick how people are saying this. So unfortunately, I have no other choice. I'm the last one to take legal action. I can't put up with it anymore. So I've named the names. Litigation will be starting shortly. I've had enough. That's why I warned you guys yesterday. Be careful what you wrote. Okay, so that's all I have to say for now. And the next thing, I want to call Mayor Britannia in Hamilton and tell him that we're going to have to spank the little tire cats. Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondak. It says that I want to eat her pussy. Olivia Gondak. I've never said that in my life before. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to get.
What about drinking and driving, Mayor? What about drinking and driving?
Okay, so maybe there are some things that we should keep private then.
Yeah.
So that was, of course, that was Mayor Ron Ford?
I think it was Rob.
Of Toronto.
Yeah.
North America's fourth largest city. As they were talking about this on the news, they kept mentioning that it's North America's fourth largest city. I don't know why.
Ranked number fourth.
Yeah. It's what the largest city is like Mexico City and then New York, then Los Angeles, and then...
I don't know.
Than Toronto, I guess.
Don't know the space.
Anyway,
I don't know where the space.
So I have to say I am proud. See, Rob Ford though, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So you can be loud and proud. You know, yeah. There's this thing. It's, so he does crack.
And move on.
Accept it and move on. Was he doing his job? That's the question.
Yeah.
Now, the drinking and driving. Now
did I clock in on time?
Exactly.
On Toronto.
Well, what? He hasn't slept in 6 months, so he of course he gets to work on time. But no, the thing with this though,
he probably should get a raise.
Yeah, probably. Well, you know, he's got to buy all his crack. But no, seriously, with that though, I mean, if he was drinking and driving, now he's broken the law. Okay, and if you break the law, you know, now that's not a thing we have. You should be, you know, ostracized or fired from your job or whatever. If you're a public official. You know, elected public official, and you're violating the law. That's one thing.
Yeah, you know? But like that just happens though. Like everyone violates some laws, you know. And I know, like, I mean, I know crack's a bad law, but you know, it's just one of the many laws, you know.
I don't violate laws.
Well, I guess you got to look at what the law is too. I mean, if you were caught smoking marijuana, I don't think I would care. But you know,
yeah, but that's your shitty ass.
Yeah, that's true.
That's your shitty ass, JT.
But that's a lot of the things about drugs. A lot of the things they say about drugs, though, I honestly question whether a lot of it is true. For instance, when I was growing up, I'd always heard, oh, you know, crack. That's kind of thing like that. You do it once, and you're just hooked for life. And that's absurd.
That's probably yeah.
It's scientifically untrue, but it's a thing they threw out there to scare everyone into not doing
like
drugs.
You're gonna need the poison every day.
Yeah, I mean all of the stuff they said about drugs in the 80s when I was in high school, I wouldn't take an aspirin for a headache for a while.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to do drugs.
Yeah,
because it's like oh, all drugs are bad. All drugs are evil.
I've been there, yeah.
And of course, you know, Bill Hicks had this big long thing about well. No drugs, but alcohol's okay, and we can have all the tobacco we want. It's like, oh well, it's just the you know the bad drugs, you know, the ones that aren't taxed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That are horrible. Which to me, okay, fine, tax them.
Yeah,
But, you know, if we're going to call this a free society, we got to let people do what they want to do. Yeah. I mean, and if what they want to do is crack, then we got to let them do crack.
Yeah, because, I mean, the people do a lot of bad shit, you know. People, you know, what, diet shit, you know what I mean, stuff like that. So, I don't know.
Well, you might know, as well let them smoke crack. If someone came up to me and said, okay, you got two choices. You can either send Rob Ford out of office for what he did, or you can kick out one of those hedge fund managers who did all the financial crap that helped cause the fall of the crash in the economic system worldwide. I would rather get rid of those people than a crack smoking mayor.
Wow. Yeah.
But you know, even the city council didn't even kick him out of office. They could have done that, but they didn't. They just stripped him of any of his authority.
What about Christian? What about Christian crack?
Like Christian Starbucks. Crack? Is there a Christian crack? Is it
Starbucks?
Starbucks is Christian crack? I don't understand where that comes from. Because, you know, Starbucks seems kind of, you know, not so right wing to me.
It says Christian crack. All Christians drink Starbucks, and it's like crack to them. So
Christians drink Starbucks.
I don't know if that's true, but I feel like it can be. Like, I feel like I've had a lot of experiences with Christian Starbucks patrons. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that, but I don't know if that's true.
On their way to church.
But yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
Well, because, you know, I'm not exactly a regular
church goer. Do you drink coffee in the morning, go to church in the morning?
I'm not exactly a regular church goer. Are people showing up to church with lattes? Because, you know what, that would be a way to get more people into the church, is to just have a cappuccino machine at the entrance. Yeah, and you know,
I think that's how they get people into AA meetings, which is kind of like church.
I wish I ran my own church. I would have the best parties.
You'd have the best, the best parties at your church.
Really? You'd have the best parties.
Yeah, I'd have the best parties at my church.
What would you do? Like, what would you serve? Like, where would it be at?
A lot of body painting models.
Body painting models. That's always fun.
Just Jesus with body paint all over him.
No, I mean, anything, anyone that questions it, just be like, this is what they wanted.
Anyone that questions what they wanted.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I wish I could hear what you were talking about.
No, I mean, yeah, if you were third party, if you had the Christian.
I have no idea what this discussion is about anymore. I can't follow you. You need to speak up. You gotta get your thought out there, because you know what, we respect your opinion, so we want to hear what you have to say.
Well, it was
something
about
you want to serve coffee to Christians and have a party.
Well, no, we're saying, like, you were saying how, like, you know, are they showing up with lattes, right? And you're saying that would be a good way to get people to go to church.
Well, you know,
and then I think he had the thought of throwing just really cool parties if he owned a church. Was that what you were trying to, maybe?
Well, yeah, I think the Catholic church would be a lot more popular. I'd have a club,
like an underground club in the church.
Yeah, a little bit more communion wine we're giving out at Catholic churches, I think.
Or just more dancing in general. Like, yeah. You know, anything. You can make anything more popular with dancing. That's true. Like, you know.
Rock music.
You could even have a chess tournament and have, like, dancing, like, intermissions.
Dancing chess tournaments?
Well, like, intermissions in between there. And, like, more people would go just because people like to dance, you know?
Well, I would be afraid that the dancers would be knocking over the chess boards.
Well, no, it's in between. It's an intermission. Like, you know, you focus. And then, like,
So you dance, and then you have an intermission, and everyone plays chess.
No, the intermissions are the dancing. The main is the chess. But I was just using that as an example, like, in anything, if you just add dancing, you're going to get more people coming out there. You know what I mean? Comedy shows, we have dance. Like, there's dancing.
Isn't there a huge deficit? I do have to point out, I've been to a lot of comedy shows that the comedy show opens for karaoke.
Yeah, or, like, there's a DJ afterwards, or in between. We got DJs in between. And, like, it's just because people...
Glorified karaoke.
Even if they're... cover songs is glorified karaoke. But, like, even if they're watching comedy, or they come to watch comedy, or they come... They want to dance at some point, right?
That's true. Well, you know, maybe, you should work in some dance music into our set.
Well, see, here's the thing. You know how they play the music track in between the comics? No one's utilizing that 30 seconds of music. And no one's doing anything. No one's dancing.
When I'm at a comedy show, I'm gonna jump up and I'm gonna start dancing.
I dance at Bottoms Up. Even if it's between the comics, every song.
Well, because they actually play like a full song at Bottoms Up. They'll play a full song in between.
Instead of it,
really?
Yeah.
Because they want the show to be ruined.
The host. No, the host.
It's kind of tight because the host doesn't really host. What?
Yeah, he's not. He's not a comic. So that's just, and then it's like a hip hop club. So it's like kind of like he'll play a song and like people like the song. That's what Christina's telling me. She likes the song.
Yeah, people like the song.
People like music.
Yeah, people do like music. That's absolutely true.
I mean, it raises the energy too. After dance, especially after like someone just bombed for like 12 minutes. It's good. It's good to hear a song. You don't want to hear
to dance. Yeah,
you want to raise the energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
You want some Lady Gaga?
If you dance like in between like bad or good sets, like it like if you had a bad set, it'd alleviate the stress of having a bad set. You know what I mean?
So that's why
like because like think about it, like this kind of this happened naturally.
Everyone dances, gets tired, and then they sit down and they're quiet.
Well, not
and resting, so they'll listen to your set.
I don't feel like it's mainly that. I feel like it's like. This has happened naturally with comedy shows, or like I feel like in a kind of like ubiquitous way around like the country, people just thought, you know what, we're gonna play music in between comedians. We're gonna play a track when they're getting up from the chair and walking to the stage. You know what I mean? People have been like, for some reason, like everyone across the country decided that was a thing to do.
So well, naturally, the silence,
it's gonna progress. Yeah. So if comedy is gonna progress, and we're gonna keep that as a part of comedy shows. We have to utilize the space, and I think that means dancing in between.
Well, me personally,
or something, or extending it, like they're doing. Yeah,
I wouldn't. If I running a comedy show, I wouldn't do music in between the comics. I would just tell the comics you got to be ready to go up on stage right away. You can't have a lot of screwing around. They should be up on stage and have the mic in their hand by the time the audience stops clapping for them.
Yeah, people are always all like chilling in the back. And
yeah,
like
exactly.
All the way through. And
yeah, exactly.
Like that. Everyone, say hi to a friend and then.
Yeah, no, you want to go up. You need to.
And they'll say DJ.
And you know what? If someone takes too long to get up on stage, screw you. Come back next week. Next guy's coming.
You'd
up.
Be a fucking hard ass.
Oh hell yeah!
You'd be a fucking hard ass booker.
I'm a comedy purist. Damn it.
Purist. You have to fucking.
You be ready. This is real.
You know what? Most of the venues don't have a layout where you can be like kind of like. There's no like back room or anything. You know what I mean? Where you can kind of just walk up.
Yeah, that's
and walk
true.
In there because like
the places that have comedy around here, they're not really set up for comedy. It's just hey, how about if you let us do a comedy show? They're not set up for performance at all.
Because I did the dark room in San Francisco, and there was a back room, and you literally just open a door, and then you walk out. You walk up, and there's the curtain, and you move the curtain, and that you it's a stage.
Yeah.
But there's a room there everyone's chilling in. So, like, you could just, right when they name your name, just be there in, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But most of the shows here and stuff like that, and, like, most shows in general are just bars and stuff like that. So you got to, like,
especially when you get a lengthy host who doesn't want to tell everyone what the order is so people aren't ready. Because if you tell everyone what the order is, it's like, hey, JT, you're going up right after Will. When I hear you on stage, I know I'm next, so I get up on deck.
Yeah.
You know, because... They need an on deck.
Yeah.
You know, like in a baseball game. Because if everyone's sitting in the dugout... waiting and okay, one guy hits. Now the next
chewing
guy goes up.
And
people would be pissed off if they have to walk all the way up there and then they got to swing for a while to get warmed up. No, you get out on the you get up to the on deck circle and you get ready. Mm-hmm. Comedy shows need an on deck circle.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, you should be warming up too. You should
and swing have some sort of a lap fluffer there.
Working on rolling your R's. Yeah,
Working on rolling your R's and you got the on deck circle. It's got like 3 people sitting there listening to you practicing your jokes while you're about to go up on stage. It'd be like the comedy fluffers.
Yeah,
and then once you are ready, you get up on stage and perform to the rest of the audience. And the next
and fucking kill it. Yeah.
That would stop you from, hey, I got this new joke I want to try, and then the 3 people listen to it, and they can be like,
you're white.
You shouldn't say the N-word.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You shouldn't say it 5 times, too.
Exactly.
But what's it called? For some reason, that reminded me of, like, because we went to Rooster Teeth Feathers to watch a show on Sunday. And comics getting in free, I guess. I didn't know this. I just went there, and I was like, hey, I called earlier, even though I didn't. I'm a comic. Do we get in free? And they're like, yeah. And I go, oh, I have some more comic friends coming. And some of them weren't, and they're coming. They'll be here in like 10 seconds. And they right when they walked in, the guy was like, oh, are you guys the comics? And they're just like, Yeah. And then we all got in free. It was like a 13-hour cover, which is kind of shitty, kind of not. Yeah. But I was thinking, like, what if like people just take that to the extreme?
I want to go to Rooster Teeth Feathers. All right, you hear that? Everybody, if you ever go to Rooster Teeth Feathers, just tell them you're a comic.
And then they put you on stage.
But then no, you could be like, yeah, and this is my comic brother, my comic father and mother. Like getting your whole family and just claiming that they're all comics just to get in free. I thought that'd be silly.
Yeah, I got to try. Well, you know, one time at an open mic, I get up on stage.
Conjoined twin.
Conjoined twin. I get up on stage. Yeah, you know, what if you're conjoined twins, one of you is a comedian, the other one isn't. Did that one have to pay the cover? But hey, we're going to take a break again real quick. This is JT Foreman. I am here with William Lushbaugh and Jamie Avila. We are the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with William Lushbaugh and Jamie Avila. We are the Bitter Comics, and we are back. And Jamie Avila is doing squats. He wants to get his exercise in during the podcast. He wants to do something productive.
He's not
productive
even doing tonight. Them right, though. Look at he can't even do them right.
Yeah, looks like he's going to fall over, actually. Nice boxers.
My leg hurts from kicking you yesterday.
Why'd you kick me?
Were you kicking him yesterday?
He sat on my car in my hood.
Oh, you call that kicking me? I didn't even feel nothing.
No, you
I didn't even feel nothing.
I kicked your elbow. I didn't kick you that hard. I didn't try to kick you.
And you hurt yourself. Your elbow. You tried to kick me, you ended up hurting yourself.
I wasn't trying.
Can't we all just get along?
Man, I was just trying to touch you.
Language?
No, I need calcium.
My delicate sensitivities can't handle all his vulgarity. I may cry.
Who do I have to apologize to?
I don't know. Send us an email. Okay, so I've had some living arrangement excitement in the past few weeks. I wanted to share. Just before Thanksgiving, I decided that I wanted to move, try to find somewhere a little bit cheaper. So I started looking around to find another place. I found this ad on Craigslist for a studio apartment for $250 a month, utilities included. So I go to check it out, and this guy has converted his garage into a studio apartment. And you know, it's just a room with bathroom and for a bed and everything. So I was like, you know, this is good enough for me. I mean, it's just me and by myself. It's cheap. I'll be able to save some money. So this might be good for. I forget. I'd stay there like 6 months, save some money. So, I checked a couple other places out, decided on that one. So I go back to him. I give him the first month's rent and deposit. I gave him the deposit on Wednesday night when I talked to him. His wife was there, his two kids, and I looked in and I talked to the people who were moving out of the studio apartment also. And you know, it's like, yeah, how's the water temperature and all that stuff. Anyway, so Saturday comes along when I'm going to move in. This is the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And I go and to move in at 10 o'clock, like I told him I was going to, and he's not there. I call him, left a message on his voicemail. Excuse me. I waited for about half an hour. He still hasn't shown up, and I want to get out of my old apartment because this is the 30th of November. I want to get out of that apartment that day so I don't have to pay the next month rent if I'm still there on the 1st. So I put my stuff in my bed in the backyard of the place, and I go to my old apartment to get the rest of my stuff. And then I get a call from the dude. His name is Jacob. He asked me to come meet him at First and Tulare. He's got to head out of town for the day, and he wants me to meet him over by First and Tulare. He'll give me the key. So I go to First and Tulare. I give him the key, or he gives me the key. I'm sorry. And you know, I give him the $250 for the first month's rent, and he says he's going to be back Sunday night. So I go back to the apartment, open the door, put my stuff in there, and just as I'm finished putting stuff into the apartment, some dude shows up. He says his name is Angel, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm moving in the apartment." "Why?" He says, "I'm supposed to move in the apartment today." I was like, "Well, I paid first month's rent and deposit. He gave me a key." And the guy, Angel, says to me, "Well, I paid first month's rent and deposit. He gave me a key, too."
So now like, you're living with Angel. How's that working out?
I was
out?
Like, "Well, this is I open the door. Does your key work?" He tries the key and it doesn't work. His key does not open the door.
You
win. Okay, so he's like, "Well, what am I supposed to do, man?" He's just kind of wandering around. He walks into the apartment and looks around. And I was like, and he's like, "What am I supposed to do now?" I was like, "Man, I have no idea.
You're supposed to get honestly, out of my apartment." Know.
And he's like, "Well, yeah, what am I going to do, man? I mean, I don't have anywhere to stay now." I was like, "Look, I have no idea, man. He told me, Jacob told me he's going to be back Sunday night. So you can come back and talk to him then. Other than that, I'm sorry, I have no idea what to tell you. I was like, well, what if I just started moving my stuff in? I said, well, yeah, we don't need to get into that. Yeah. You know, we don't need to start that at all. Yeah. I mean, you don't even have a key to the place. If you move your stuff in, you know, that's going to be a problem. And so he's like, well, what am I going to do then? I was like, well, come back tomorrow night. You know, Jacob told me he's going to be back tomorrow night. And so he goes to leave. And I don't want to leave too much of my crap there because I don't know what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
So I take my TV and my computer, put it back in the van I borrowed to move my stuff. And the only thing I left in the apartment was my bed, one of my tables, and one of my chairs. And I took everything. I'm going to take everything else over to my dad's house and just leave it in the garage for now. Just as I'm about to leave, this white car pulls up. A Hispanic couple gets out, and they start speaking to me in Spanish. They don't speak English.
Damn.
So, yeah. So, they're
your trippy ass. I was like,
Jacob, come home mañana, so they call. They take their cell phone out, and they call someone else, and they hand me the phone. And this person speaks English, but barely. I think this couple was there to look at the house, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did the person sound?
So, very accented. She had a really deep Hispanic accent and was speaking English. I can't do Hispanic accents. I wish I could do voices. I would like to do impressions.
It was just broken English, though, or what?
Yeah, it was very broken English. It's kind of the El Gifto.
El Gifto.
Is Spanish for gift. That kind of broken English, yeah.
El Gifto?
But, so I hand the phone back, and she says whatever she said to them, and then they leave. So I leave, and, you know, that night I don't have anywhere else to stay. I was like, you know, so I go back to the apartment, and I stay there. Mm-hmm. That's Saturday night. Sunday afternoon comes along, I get a call from Angel. He says to me that he just called
Jacob. Angel, so you can, along the lines, he gave Angel your number.
Yeah, you got it.
He asked me for his number. I just gave him one of my cards.
You gave him a business card for Comic JG.
Yes.
Now Angel wants to write jokes for him.
Well, you know, now he has a website for the podcast. Maybe I just got a new listener. You never know. Judge me.
Did you give the Mexican family that or a couple that didn't know English too some cards?
No, I didn't. But I wish I had though. You know, I bet they know a lot of people that could hand them out.
They got a big family.
Of course, you know, they probably go to Chris Cruz's shows anyway. that was messed up. Anyway, Saturday afternoon I get a call, or Sunday afternoon I get a call from Angel. He says that Jacob's phone has been disconnected, and I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't even own the house and he was just squatting or something and decided to, you know, pull a scam before he took off. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, he told me he's going to be back tonight, though, so I'll be home around 10. So I called Jacob's number, and Jacob's number has been disconnected. So Sunday night, I get back to the house, and there are four women and one girl, all Hispanic people, standing in the driveway.
Sounds good.
So I pull up. I get out of my car and I say, how many of you paid first month's rent and deposit and were expecting to move in today? And two of them raise their hands.
What?
Yeah.
What they look like? I mean, like, could one of them move in?
I say, so, all right.
You're approved.
You know what? Let me see something. So I take my key. I try it on the front door. It doesn't open it. Now, the garage apartment, it does open that. I mean, that's where I put my stuff and that's where I was staying. So I try it on the back door to the house and it opens the door. We go inside. There's trash all over the floor. There's a broken dresser in one of the rooms, and everything else is gone. Now, when I was there the previous Wednesday night, they had furniture, at least in the living room. The dude was living there with his wife and two kids. But everything is gone now. And there were pennies everywhere, all over the floor.
Where did the wife and two kids
go? Pennies?
Pennies. Yes. So I got back $1.63 of my money.
But well, where did the wife and kids go?
Oh, they left with him, I guess.
With Jacob?
Yeah, I assume so.
That is so fucking trippy.
So yeah. You still live there?
No. Right, I'll get to that. It gets better. Okay, so, you know, one of them calls the police, makes a report. The police took a report, but actually said they were not going to come out.
Standard.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're not coming out. We're not going to investigate. We're not going to do anything. So they're looking around the house for evidence, trying to see if anything has his name or not. I don't know why, because the police just said they're not going to do shit.
Yeah.
So
that's shitty.
Anyway, they start talking, and one of them says to me, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I got to work in the morning. I point to the garage apartment that I'm staying in. I'm going to go to bed. And they're like, well, what should we do? I said, well, the house is empty. As far as I'm concerned, you can stay there if you want to.
You tell the cops
that. What do I care? No. I said that to the other people who were there.
Yeah.
I was like, you can stay here if you want to. I don't care. And they decided not to stay there. And I go out front and I'm watching them leave. And I couldn't help but think to myself, I guess this means I get the covered parking space.
So wait, all those people were just cool with losing that money, or what?
Well, they're not cool with it, but what are you going to do, right?
What, and why does your ass get to stay in there? Why don't they get to stay?
I'm the only one that had a key.
You had the main key?
But you know, why did Jacob choose the house? They could stay there if they want to. I don't care.
Yeah, but it's not as clean as the garage, probably.
Well, that's true. But you know what? You pick up the trash, threw it away, and they could stay there if they wanted. As far as I was concerned, they could stay there as long as they want. I don't care. Well, anyway, so
you would care when they start throwing parties.
So a couple days later, my dad had a peritoneal, I think is what it's called, installed. It's for home dialysis. He had a surgery to get a thing implanted in his stomach so he can do his dialysis at home instead of having to go to the dialysis clinic. And so I didn't want him picking up my stepmother, who is in a wheelchair, to help her get in and out of bed and stuff, because I'm afraid he's gonna aggravate the injury and it's not gonna heal right.
Yeah.
So I told him, yeah, I should stay with you guys for a couple weeks, so I can help, you know, move mom around, you know, when she needs to. And so I actually ended up moving back to my parents' house for a little bit, but. The day I was going to move back to my parents' house, I get a call from one of the other girls. Yes, I give them my business card, too. all of those people who showed up, and, hey, we're supposed to move in, I gave all of them my card, too.
Yeah, well, I'm
they Joel asked Foreman, me for my number, so I gave them my business card. Yeah. It has my number on it.
You just need to get rid of them.
Yeah, I have a lot of them. And so, you know, 3 cents each.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Why not? Yeah. So this girl, her name, she said her name was Yolanda, but, you know, it's suspicious it's the same name as the hurricane that just happened, or the typhoon that just happened. So, yeah, it's probably a fake name.
Hurricane Yolanda.
But she says, you know, you were talking about we could stay in the house if we wanted to. Is that still okay? I was like, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. So, you know, she, I was like, yeah, I'll be back over there in about an hour and a half. So, yeah, you can stay there if you want to. I'll come over and I'll open the door for you. So I get there and I unlock the door for her so she can get in. And I was like, yeah, I'll make a copy of the key tomorrow and give it to you. So the next day, you know, I'm staying at my parents' house right now. Mm-hmm. So the next day I come over there, I make a copy of the key and give it to her. The day after that I come by just to check in, and she has moved into the garage apartment where my bed is, and she's moved her boyfriend in.
What?
Yeah.
And they're fucking on your
bed. And they're fucking, and on, sure they're fucking on my bed.
So,
what the fuck?
You know, I was complaining to you before about the worst thing about moving is that all your friends see the stains on your mattress.
Yeah.
Now I have new ones to explain.
Yeah, yeah. They're not even JT stains. She's bone zoning on JT's.
I know.
So what did you say? What did you say?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I came over. Actually, it was a Tuesday night. I came over. You know, I figured she's probably sitting around the house by herself doing nothing. I'm going to an open mic at Starving Artist, so I thought I'd stop by and see if she wants to go. You know, nice to have another member of the audience.
He was trying to get her on his bed.
Yeah, and then someone else got her on my bed. This is bullshit. So, you know, I show up there, and of course, her boyfriend is there, and he's, like, in the back of the room standing against the wall with his hand in his pocket. He looks really worried. Seriously, he's got this really worried look on his face right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do
something.
You guys
still tow boots.
And she's, you know, she's sitting down on the bed looking very sheepish. And I was like, well, you know, I just came by to check on the house. And, you know, I'm going to a stand-up comedy show tonight. I just thought I'd ask if you wanted to go. And she's like, no, it's okay, thanks. I was like, all right, I'll come by and talk to you tomorrow. And so that was I asked what's his name? Paulo Martin. Sorry. I don't know why. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah. I, at the open mic that night, the Tuesday, I said, hey, can anyone help me move my bed?
Mm.
And Paulo was like, yeah, I got a truck. And so we arranged
to move.
I was like, you know what? I'm staying at my dad's house right now. I don't need this bullshit. I'm just going to go there, get my shit, and get out. And you know, they can deal with whatever they want to.
Yeah.
So Paulo comes over. Was it last Friday, I think?
Well,
it was either last Friday or last Wednesday. I don't remember which now. Yeah. I'm sorry. But anyway, so Paulo comes over. He doesn't. He told me noon, but he doesn't get over to my house until like 2:30.
But that's how I knew it got good with Paulo.
It turns out, yeah. Well, you know what? My girlfriend is also Filipino, just like Paulo is, and she's always talking about Filipino time and being late. So I guess I should have expected it. And you know what? You can be mad at me about that being racist all you want, but my girlfriend is Filipino, and she's the one who said it, so fuck all of you.
Next week, apologizing to Filipinos.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm an anti-apology to Filipinos next week. okay, so we go over to the house to get my stuff. There's a van in the driveway. And
God damn.
We're gonna take a break real quick.
No, keep going.
JT Foreman, we're the Bitter Comics. We'll be right back. Okay, this is JT Foreman here with Wilhelm Lushbaugh and Jamie Avila. Jamie, you gotta go, or I mean, if you got stuff to do,
like seven minutes.
Okay, well, I should be able to get through this. All right, so there's a van there. I look on the side of the van, and it says rental properties, and has a phone number listed on it. And there's a couple of Hispanic dudes there who apparently work for this rental properties company. And it turns out that they were there. They were hired by the actual owner of the house to change the locks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I got to go back real quick. When Jacob didn't show up for a couple of days, I went down to the county surveyor's office to try to find out who actually owns the house. It's owned by a company called RNC LLC, a limited liability company. Apparently, it's just some real estate holding company that people make this company to own stuff for them so that no one can find them,
I guess.
They didn't have a phone number listed. There was an address that was a mailbox at a mailbox store in Clovis. So I wrote a letter to them explaining what had happened, and I hadn't heard back yet.
Mm.
So there's these guys there, and I was like, hey, I'm just going to get my bed and my table and my chair, and I'm going to go. And they're like, oh, that's cool. No problem. You know, I assume these guys, they're hired to change the locks at a lot of rental places, and I bet they have all kinds of problems with residents who don't want to leave. So I guess they were thrilled that I was just there to get my shit.
Yeah.
So they were very helpful. In fact, the other door that's on the garage apartment, the inside door, I didn't have a key to that one, but apparently the girl Yolanda who'd moved in, she had found a key to it, and so that door was locked, so I couldn't get in. But they just got a drill out and broke the lock off. They had been hired by the actual owners of the house to change all the locks anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what they were going to do anyhow. So I get in, I get my bed, I get my table, I get my chair, and I take it and I to leave. And I told them, hey, I was trying to get a hold of the owners of this house. I assume they're the ones who hired you, and they said yes. I said, okay, and I gave them my card. I gave each of them one. If you could please ask him or her, because I want to be politically correct, him or her, to give me a call, I would appreciate it. So, and then I go to leave, and as I'm driving away, I'm talking to Paulo's driving, we got his truck. I'm talking to him. I was like, should I call Yolanda and tell her? Or should I just, you know, fuck her, let her find out when she gets there? Because she's got all her crap in there.
Your room. Huh?
Yeah, she's got all her crap in there. And my guess is that these guys are either going to take or throw away everything. Because, you know, they were hired to get the house ready for the next renter. Yeah. So anything that's in there, I assume they're going to either keep or throw away.
Mm.
So, and Paulo's like, you know, fuck her. Who cares?
She was on your bed.
Moved in and living on your bed and moved her boyfriend in. Why would you do something? Why would you help her? And I was like, no, I can't do that. So I called her.
Yeah, you should call her.
I was like, yeah, you know, I was just there. And, you know, there's some guys that are changing the locks. So you might want to get back there and get your stuff. And, you know, wish you luck. And I hung up. She calls me back a few minutes later. She's there. And she's like, did you go through my stuff? No. Well, you know, some of my bags were open and someone went through my stuff and these guys say they didn't do it. I said, I did not go through your shit. And I hung up.
Mm-hmm.
And then an hour later, I get a call from the guy that owns the house.
Oh shit.
Yeah. He's like, oh, his name is Steve. And I actually seemed very nice. I told him what happened. He's like, yeah, you know, that guy, I evicted him because he was 3 months late on rent. And yeah, he's a real piece of work. And, you know, I hope you filed a report with the police. Yeah, I did. And but I'm never going to see my money again. Yeah. And I was like, all right, well, you know, good luck. And, you know, when you get the house ready to actually rent it out, give me a call. I might be interested in renting the place because, you know, I still need somewhere to live.
Yeah.
And you, now I actually know who owns the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, I keep thinking about what could I have done to have avoided this whole situation. But he's living there in the house. He has the keys to it. He's got his furniture in there. Everything looks up and up. The only thing I could have done is take the address, go down to the county surveyor's office to make sure he actually owns a house. And who thinks of
did
that?
Did he make you sign a rental agreement?
No, he did not make me sign a rental agreement.
I think that's the big thing.
He gave me a receipt, but, you know, it's those little receipt books you buy at the drugstore.
Yeah,
handwritten. I mean, anyone I show it to would be like, well, you could have written that. So,
yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't really mean much of anything.
I think it's good to at least get, like, a monthly signed rental agreement.
Yeah. But, so there's been my excitement lately. So now I'm stuck staying at my dad's house for a little bit. Yeah, you know, I could try to move somewhere else, but the money I would pay for rent there, I already gave this dude.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of stuck where I'm at right now. And the best part about it is that my allergies are really killing me. I mean, I'm coughing a lot, and it's because, you know,
the air has been so bad here.
Right? Well, yeah, but my lungs hurt, and it's the house is you know, they had dogs and cats for decades in the house. So even though the dog and cat aren't there anymore, their dander is still around. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm trying to get the place as clean as I can, but it's still, I'm having a lot of trouble breathing while I'm there. So
you need it. Yeah. Well, you were in a garage, though.
Yeah.
So you know.
No, actually, you know what? That garage was incredibly clean.
Really?
It was. Yeah, absolutely. It was very, very clean.
Garage, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, just this small little room, you know, it was more than enough for me. So, yeah.
Cat's doing yoga. But, Rusty knows yoga.
Oh, cats are so cute.
But
he's doing the downward cat.
Yeah, there's my apartment adventures.
Yeah, that sounds crazy, though. I mean, it's a good story to tell, you know. Probably, you know, it might end up being, like, good, like, 2 to 3 minutes one day. You never know.
Yeah. I think I just paid $500 for an idea for a bit what I've done. But, Jamie, you got to take off. I don't want to keep you if you're going to work or something. So thanks. Thanks a lot for coming to do the podcast. We really appreciate it. Before you go, do you have any shows you want to plug? Anything coming up you want to?
Bottoms up,
everyone.
January 8th.
January
8th. We'll be back. Bottoms Up.
Yeah, I read Bottoms Up, too. I think Bottoms Up is a really dope venue.
On 99, the best place.
Ashland and 99.
Bottoms Up nightclub.
Along Wednesday. 99.
Cool.
9 o'clock.
All right, yeah, I'm going to try to get out there next week. Thanks a lot for coming to do the
8th.
Well, yeah, but they do the open mics each week, too, though, right?
No, the next one's until the 8th.
Oh, okay.
It's Christmas. Okay. You're going to go on Christmas?
Well, yeah. You know.
I'm going to throw a show on Christmas. Should we throw one, JT?
Yeah, invite everyone over here. We'll do a show here. Actually, the diving board on the swimming pool will be the stage.
That'd be great.
And we'll do like a gong show kind of thing, and there'll be someone standing behind you to push you in the water if everyone says you.
No, that sounds too cold.
Probably better not do that. Wait till the summer, and then we'll do that. Got to have a comedy party at the house.
Yeah, I know.
I jumped in the pool with Christina.
Before we go, let's do a quick news story. How about this one? Meet the priests of Italy's Roman beefcake calendar.
Later, Jamie.
Take care, Jamie. Now in its 10th edition, the annual wall calendar, best known for its black and white photos of attractive priests, continues to spark grumbles of controversy in Italy.
Now, like, are these priests, they're, like, fully clothed, right?
Yeah,
like,
they're wearing the whole priest thing with the collar and everything, but very, very sexy men. Here's a couple pictures.
That's the thing. That,
these are some good-looking guys. If these had been the priests to rape those kids, we wouldn't have heard any complaints.
Oh, yeah, because they would probably like, because those look like some model priests. But, like, are these, like, recent priests or are these all-time priests?
No, current.
Current priests? Like, modern priests?
They've done a calendar each year for the last 10 years. And they find good-looking Catholic priests at the Vatican, and
yeah,
they They do a calendar.
That's the thing. You know how like women wear like skimpy clothing to look sexy? Like I guess like men just dress nice.
Yeah, men dress up more like, nice in a suit.
Yeah, and so people think
the friar hat.
So people think this is risque that just because they're suited though, like that kind of.
Well, according to Piero Pazzi, and I'm sure I did not pronounce that right.
No,
a Venice-based photographer who takes the photos and produces the calendar each year. Almost all of the men he photographs, many of them in front of churches or religious monuments, are priests or seminarians, but the religious connotations end there. According to Italian media reports, the calendar has become a kind of icon for groups ranging from female Protestant clergy to gay men.
Ooh. I wonder, yeah, that'd be interesting. Like,
yeah.
Gay men getting off to, like,
so it, a Catholic male. It's become calendar. Affectionately known as the Roman Beefcake calendar. Got sexy priests wearing the priest outfit. It's not like they're in, you know.
Yeah, it's just that, like, know, they're good-looking people and they happen to be priests. Or, very sexy. How about this? Are those the actual priests or are those models? You know how they have like sexy firemen? Like that's not an actual fireman.
According to the photographer,
they just dress a model in a fireman outfit, but yeah.
Well, according to the photographer who does the calendar, they're actual priests.
Oh, okay. I wonder if there's going to end up being phonies in the future or whatnot.
I hope so.
Because if this is going to become like a subgenre, you know what I mean? A popular, thriving subgenre like of calendars. There's got to be new ways to pioneer it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, how about the Pope calendar, maybe?
You could do that. But you could hire different models to be popes. Like, why isn't there, like, a really buff pope? You know what
That's
I mean?
That's true.
Something like
That's
that,
true.
Yeah.
You know, they need to get some popes in a little bit better shape.
Yeah.
Because some of these popes, you know...
Well, and then just people need different things to masturbate to, too.
That's true.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everyone needs something new to masturbate once in a while. Because, you know, you get tired of the same old thing. Ladies, that's why we cheat on you. Because we're tired of having sex with the same person.
That's a terrible... I don't know.
I'm kidding.
I feel like there's a lot of people who do hold that view. They think
I don't, actually.
Men generally, like the truck driver men have to cheat because they're always on the road kind of thing. Like,
well, you know, my girlfriend says that kind of stuff all the time. She's like, I know you're going to end up cheating on me eventually. She
you're
actually
a
said
guy.
That because you're a man.
That makes no sense.
And it's like, you know what? No, just because your ex cheated on you doesn't mean I'm going to. You know, I always feel like... when I was a kid, my dad would say, you know, when you're older, you'll meet older women who are more mature, and they'll appreciate you. They'll want a nice guy. You know, they'll be tired of the jerks that they've been dating their whole life, and they'll want a nicer guy. But see, now here I am. I'm a little bit older, and I have the older woman who had the jerk before and now is with the nicer guy, but I'm being punished for his bad behavior.
Yeah, because you're coped in. Like, that's how all guys are.
Yeah, she assumes that the one guy she was married to before that treated her like crap.
Well, that happens with dudes
too. Is what all men are like.
That happens with dudes too. Like,
well, yeah,
really jealous, possessive guys that have like one shitty girlfriend. And they think that every girl they like ever date just gonna like fuck everyone. They know. You know what I mean?
Something. Well, you know, you can only generalize based on your own experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, well, you shouldn't generalize. Yeah, shouldn't. But it's kind of natural too.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like everything that becomes a stereotype became a stereotype for a reason. It's not. You know, whether it be the black people in fried chicken or white people have good credit or whatever, any stereotype is
like
a stereotype.
A lot of people have those similar experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what? I have horrible credit.
Yeah.
But I don't get offended when people say, oh, you should have good credit. You're a white guy.
Yeah. Because you're like, you know what? That's kind of true. There's been a lot of white guys with good credit.
So, yeah, I should. Actually,
I should have taken advantage of my race.
I would actually probably feel better about myself if I were the stereotype of white guys.
Yeah, you're like... Yeah, you should have fit more into your stereotype.
Yeah, I really should. I you know, I don't feel that I've taken full advantage of this white thing.
Yeah,
that I got. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I need to work I have the half white thing. I need to start working on that.
You
got to
work on
limit the Chicano pride and go more towards that. You know.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the great thing. It's like anytime if you do like you know you get the suit, you get the responsible job and everything, and anytime something does go wrong, you say, well, you know, it's just my Chicano side.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about that.
I had to add some color.
People have to forgive you because otherwise they're the ones who are racist.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows who's racist besides everyone?
Fucking spick. I'm kidding. All right, so that's our hour. Thanks a lot for doing the podcast.
Yeah, dude,
we really
no
appreciate
problem.
It.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't have an apartment of my own to do it anymore. So thanks for letting me come over here to record it.
Yeah.
Really, other than you know, bottoms up at 8 on the 8th of January. And also, Starving Artist Bistro has their open mic every Tuesday, but they're not going to be doing that again until January.
Well, here's what you need to do. All things related to comedy in Fresno and the Valley. Just like Fresno Comedy Scene, that like that page on Facebook.
Yeah, actually, go to Facebook, go to Fresno Comedy Scene and like it. And,
yeah, it's a we've been working hard on it. We try to post every show, every open mic, and yeah. Mainly showcase ones. It's good for people who just want to go and watch, and good for comics too. Like we're trying to bridge both more than than like a Facebook group. And I'm one of the moderators on that page, so just look at that. And so that's right, a good page.
Oh, hey, thanks again for doing the show. Yeah. And I'm JT Foreman. Jamie Avila has already taken off, and I'm here with William Lushbaugh. We have been the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks. All right.
Peace.